they didn't get it.
Okay, Parshas Lech Lecha is always an excuse to talk about Parshas Milah. We could really speak about Parshas Milah. I have a safe over here, and I think 70 different Shtiklech Torah on Bris Milah. Bris Milah is an enormous topic. What I'd like to discuss today is the inyan of doing Bris Milah even in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh. So let's begin from the very start. Number one on the sheets, Lech Lecha Yud Zayin Aleph, Vayihi Avram Ben Tishim Shon of Aseishas Shonim. Avram was 99 years old. Vayera Hashem El Avram Vayoyim Elov Ani Keil Shakai Hishalich Lefonai Veheyei Somim. Go in front of me and be complete. What does it mean being complete? Rashi says to go and perform the mitzvah of Bris Milah, which is why we're talking about it today. Now we know there is a very famous and tragic scenario in which somebody does Bris Milah to a child and the child dies. He does Bris Milah to the second son and that son also dies. So then we get into the area called Meisu Ochiv Machmas Milah, when two, or as we'll see in a minute, perhaps three of the brothers have died as a direct result of the Bris Milah, then you don't do Bris Milah to the next child. Now, those learning Bava Kamma know very well from the principle of Shoir Hamud, the goring ox, that we have a principle of Chazaka. When something begins to form some type of pattern, then we say this is not just random coincidence, there clearly is a pattern going on over here. So if an ox gores three times, we don't say it was three random events, but rather we say this ox clearly has a tendency to gore and all the halachas change. But actually, it's a machlokes in the Gemara, how many times must something happen in order to form a chazaka? And this shaila is neged right across the board in Shoir and in Mila and Hilchas Vestas, in many, many areas. Twice is a chazaka or three times is a chazaka? Twice or three times?
This question has a very big assumption that this number should be same for every.
Right.
It's 100%.
So that's Mavur in Masechtas Nida. Bernard will know that the Gemara learns the pattern of Vestas. A woman has a cycle. The Gemara learns that from Shoir Hamuad. So also you could say, what do you mean? Maybe Shoir Hamuad three times, that develops a pattern. But a woman has a cycle, maybe takes more or less. Or the Gemara says there's one principle right across the board. It's got to be either twice or three times, whatever you hold a chazaka is. Now, halacha l'maisa, normally we say a chazaka is only after three times. When it comes to Bris Milah, we are machmila at the shittas that even after twice, there is a chazaka. So if Chas v'Shalom, two sons had Bris Milah, and both died as a result, direct result of the Bris Milah, you do not do Bris Milah to the third son.
That with the two are together, where one in between, if you did one, Chas v'Shalom, you died, and then another Bris, and it's fine, and then another one.
So it's a very good shayla. There's even a shayla the other way around. In Hilchas Nida we know that if a woman has a Veses and then she's oika that Veses, but if she comes back to it once and the old Veses comes back, do we say the same over here? If Chas v'Shalom, somebody did Bris Milah to children number 1 and 2 and 3, let's say, and then he wasn't allowed to do Bris Milah anymore, but he did, and 4, 5 and 6 he did Bris Milah and they were all fine, does that mean that pattern has disappeared? And if he does Milah on baby number 7 and that baby dies, does it then go back to... So all the shailas, that's really what Remichael was asking. Do we really compare every single detail of all Hilchas Chazakas in Shoir Hamuad and Nidon everywhere to Bris Milah? So certainly, Legaba the Etzem Din, how many times does it take to form the Chazaka, twice or three times? That seems to be uniform right across the board. Rebbe is always of the opinion twice. Rav Shimon Gamliel says three times. And as we said, we hold Halacha L'maisa if you do Bris Milah to two sons, they both die, the third one you don't do Bris Milah to. But actually...
And he has no responsibility for himself either. He's always potter.
Oh! So had you asked me this 2 days ago, I wouldn't even understood your question. But now, Baruch Hashem, we're going to see it's a huge machlokes. What you just said, I didn't know till this week, it's an enormous machlokes.
So how long he's potter?
I was always under the impression, potter, mistakenly, and... The Neid Yehuda says that certainly the mashmolus in the Gemara potter means potter leilavoy, just sakona to do mila to this child. We'll see. Let's have a look at the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Samach, Dalad, Omet, Beis. By the way, the simple conventional understanding is the pshat. Why indeed do we not do bris milah to the third child? Korach nefesh. Korach nefesh. If we see this pattern beginning to form, so clearly there's something in the family that they can't take bris milah. We know the pasuk in Achrei Mos, number 2 on the sheets, Yud Ches Heil Shmartim Esfukosai Vesmishpot Hashir Yasa Isom Ha'odom, the famous two words, V'chai Bohem Ani Hashem. Hashem says you've got to live by the mitzvahs, not die by them. And from there we derive the very famous principle, Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha Kol HaTorah Kula, with three famous exceptions. You don't do anything if it's dangerous. So comes along the Gemara, number 3 on the sheets, a Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Dalet on the base. My Hava Allah. The Gemara wants to know, we've got a discussion. Twice is a chazaka, three times. What's the maskana? How do we come out? So there was a story. Ki Oser of Yitzchok by Yosef, Oma, Uvda Hava Kameid Rabbi Yechanan. There was this story with Rabbi Yechanan. The Knishta de Ma'oin b'Yom Kippurim Shechal Liyos b'Shabbos. There was a Yom Kippur, and it happened to be Shabbos on the same day as well. Umola Rishoina Umeis, Shnia Umeis, Shlishis Bo'ol Afonav Omalei Lechi Umoili. So Rabbi Yechman had this story with a woman who had already done Bris Mila to two of her children, and they had both passed away. It comes to the third child. He clearly maintained that twice is not yet a chazakah. So you can do bris milah to the third child. And if you can do bris milah to the third child, it comes day 8. Even if day 8 happens to be Shabbos and it's Yom Kippurim, he says, go ahead, do the bris milah on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur, because I maintain that it's only considered dangerous after 3 times, not after 2 times. Omalei Abaya. Abaya clearly disputed it, and he said, no! Twice is already a chazakah. Twice is a chazakah after 2 children have been brised and they have both passed away. It's clearly dangerous to do bris milah even to the third time. You don't have to wait till the 4th. Now look what he said. Chazi de koshoris, 2 words. Isura v'sakamta. He said, not only have you transgressed an issa, you've also put the child's life in danger. Now, before we see any further, if we were learning this Gemara, how would we translate that Gemara? Abaya said that I maintain that twice is a chazaka, therefore you clearly have no right to do bris milah on this third child at all, never mind do it on Shabbos. So if I would ask you, so what does it mean that he's done an issa and he's put the child's life in danger? So put the child's life in danger, we will understand. If after twice is a chazakah, he clearly maintains that the third time is already dangerous, don't do bris milah, by instructing this mother to do bris milah to her child, he was putting this child's life in danger. I understand. What does it mean he was also over an issa? Which issa? Yeah,
so you mean? Doing a bris on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and Yom Kippur.
Right, which issa is that?
Because if the child is potter, you've got no right to do it.
Like, so I would have said, like Reb Bernard, but what does it mean he was over an issa? He was over an issa by telling somebody to do a bris on Yom Kippur when in fact there's no mitzvah whatsoever. This child is completely exempt because it's sakon. Now have a look at Rashi and you're in for a surprise. Rashi number 4 on the sheet says, Isura v'sakanta. Do you know why it's dangerous and also issa? She'im chazaka b'shnei pa'omim. Because if we are to maintain that a chazaka exists after twice already, and the third one is already exempt from Mila. Mm-hmm. Now, we wanted Rashi to continue and say, therefore there's no mitzvah. The third one is exempt. So what are you doing, bris Mila, on your Shabbos and Yom Kippur when there is no bris? And Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, have a Mila shaloi bizmano ve'eino deicha es ha-Shabbos. This is Mila in the wrong time. That's not Deicha Shabbos. You're right, but that's not called Mila Shalei Bizmano. You're right, a Yetzer Deifin, a Caesarian, doesn't do Bris Mila on Shabbos. That's not Mila Shalei Bizmano. There we learn from a special post, it's not Deicha Shabbos.
This big implication of Rashi. If I read Rashi properly, right now, there could be Zman for certain.
Right. So all the Achrenim look at this Rashi and they say, I cannot understand, what is Rashi talking about? Manavshach, if you hold that a mitzvah was performed, maybe there was a sakana, but a mitzvah was done, then it's not Shalei Bizmano, it's Bizmano, this is the eighth day. So therefore there was no Chilul Shabbos at the end of the day.
But if the mitzvah shouldn't have been performed because there's a danger, then it shouldn't have, then it wasn't the right time to do it.
Well, one second, that's what's bothering them. If there wasn't a mitzvah because it's dangerous, then the problem is not that it's the wrong time, the problem is there's no mitzvah. So why does Rashi say that it's a mila, but it's a shalei bizmano? It's in the wrong time. What do you mean the wrong time? There's no mitzvah, full stop.
So is Rashi saying it's like a sick baby? A sick baby, you're not allowed to be on the eighth day.
So one second.
He said more. It is baby have sickness right now,
right,
and he would be well later.
We're going to see. So it all Achrenim, Avni Nezer, and many Achrenim there in Yevomus and Aksav Sefer, and many Achrenim say they don't understand this Rashi. What does Rashi mean? Mila Shalei Bizmano. Mila Shalei Bizmano. Rashi should have said one of two things. Either, yes, it was very dangerous, but now that you've done it, fine, I'll let you off the hook. Well, if that's the case, it's Mila Bizmano. This is the eighth day. And if Rashi means to say that no, you had no right to do Bris Mila when it's dangerous for the child, then the reason why it's not Deicha Shabbos is not because it's not the right Zman, because there's no mitzvah at all. So what does Rashi mean with Mishalei Bizman? So the Oinig Yom Tov, one of the Gedolei Achreinim, he makes big Shtiklach Torah on this Rashi. And the Oinig Yom Tov, and we'll see it in a minute, clears a very fundamental Shaila. And he says, he wants to know, what happens if somebody comes Pesach Seder night? He's got a mitzvah min haTorah to eat a kazayis matzah, and the doctors tell him, you're very ill, he's a chayla, so much so that if you would eat a kazayis matzah, it'll kill you. Pekuach nefesh. Fine. So clearly he's got no mitzvah. He decided he doesn't care, he's going to eat matzah anyway. And he ate the matzah. Can't resist.
No.
He didn't die. I can't resist sharing. You must have heard from Rabbi Zev Lef. I heard him saying on a number of his tapes. He talks about this concept. He said he was once a very young Rav in America, in his early stages of his career, where he gets a phone call from an elderly woman in a terrible situation. She's in a complete state. My husband is deathly ill, and the doctors have told him he must not fast this Yom Kippur. If he fasts, it's absolutely dangerous, and he's got to eat three healthy gesunte meals. So he said, fine. So that's what the doctors say, that's what you've got to do. She says, yeah, but the problem is my husband doesn't agree. My husband said he's never ever eaten on Yom Kippur, and he doesn't plan on doing it now. And I don't know what to do. The doctors say it's absolutely dangerous. So Rabbi Lef, he said he was a young fellow, said to this woman, call in, send your husband to me. So in walks this elderly gentleman, starts talking to this young Rob. The Rob explains, you know, you've got to eat, what can we do? And this fellow says, listen, you're a very sweet young man, but I've fasted for years and years and years in Yom Kippur, and I don't plan on eating this year in Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Zev Lef said to him, well, in that case, we can't give you an aliyah in the shul anymore. What do you mean? He says, it's bad enough that we sometimes have to compromise on giving aliyahs in the shul to Mechalalei Shabbos. But we don't give aliyahs to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. This fellow was taken aback. Ovdei Avodah Zarah? What do you mean? Which Avodah Zarah are you, Ovdei? Rabbi Zev Lef says, well, I don't know, but my God says that you've got to fast on Yom Kippur, and that very same God says that if it's dangerous, you've got to eat on Yom Kippur. You clearly follow a different God called the Yom Kippur God. And the Yom Kippur God says, you've got to fast on Yom Kippur at all counts, even if it's dangerous. That's a different God to the one I serve. So if you eat on Yom Kippur, you can't get an aliyah in shul.
If you fast on Yom Kippur.
So Zev Lef, when he tells over the story, he pauses and he says, the elderly man ate three healthy meals at Yom Kippur. I'll call upon him for Eifen. So in Yom Tov discusses this person for whom it's life-threatening to eat matzah. That's what the doctors have told him. And he says, I don't care, I'm going to eat matzah anyway. And he ate matzah. And he survives. And not only does he survive, suddenly his illness disappears. Fine, he's no longer a chayla. Says the Oinig Yom to, does he now have to eat another kazayis of matzah? Because when he ate his initial kazayis, he wasn't actually instructed to do so, because the Torah says, "Koach nefesh is deicha kol haTorah kula." You have no mitzvah of matzah. Just like if somebody would eat matzah on Erev Pesach, say, very nice, but yes, at the wrong time. Sorry, you weren't mechuyev on Erev Pesach. The mitzvah is on Leil Pesach. So do we say the same, that if you ate matzah on Leil Pesach, but you're exempt because it was life-threatening, it's a sakonis, b'koach nefesh, maybe that means that you weren't actually mekayim anything, and you've now got to eat another kazayis. Or perhaps, no, it's true you're exempt. You're exempt, but the ma'aseh, you did it. You didn't have to, but if you did it, you ate.
You know, I know that an asur to put yourself in danger. Let's say that I put myself in danger. So what I did? What I need to be hatas? What I did? Okay, I put it. It's another case, I ask. It's a very good recommendation of Rabbanim and said, be good Jew.
Or
it is asur. It's forbidden, whatever going is forbidden. I still don't know and understand what this third time means.
100%. So we've definitely mentioned in the past, it is the famous shita of the Rambam, but that's talking about aveiras, not mitzvahs. In other words, if a guy would come and put a gun to your head and says, you have to sell aveda zara or I'm going to pull the trigger, so we know you don't sell aveda zara, you've got to let him pull the trigger. What happens if he says, eat nevela or I'm going to kill you, so we know then you can eat nevela. What happens if you say, I can eat nevela, but I'd rather die? I don't want to eat nevela. I'd rather be shot dead than eating the nevela. Huge machlokes rishonim. The Rambam says he has no right to do it. Not only is he not mechuyev to eat nevela, he's not even allowed to eat nevela. Others hold that no. If you want to, you don't have to. Aveda zara, shvichas domim, gevi arayis, you have to let yourself get killed. All other aveiras you don't have to, but if you want to, you can. Aloch lamaisa, try and avoid these situations. Best not to get involved. Now, all of that is talking about aveiras. You're asking, what about
aveiras? He's told not to, like, he eats that kazayis. He's told not to with nezbit, and then he does. So, if it was a
mitzvah,
then it's a mitzvah.
Oh, so you're asking a new shayla, which I'm not sure is the same shayla as Ramayka. You're asking that if it was an aveira to put himself, then it's a mitzvah of aveira.
It is the same shayla.
Yes, that's it.
It's absolutely the same shayla.
That's a good shayla. The Achrayim talk about, in as much that it was also for him to put his life in danger,
right,
then he was over, let's say, the issa of Vachaybahim. And Vachaybahim says, the Torah says, you've got to live. And he says, no, I want to be very frum, and I want to die. I'm going to eat matzah, even though it might kill him. Very nice, that's an aveira, because you put your life at danger, you have no right to do so. If that's the case, then he ate matzah via an aveira, so if it's mitzvah aveira.
That's not the mitzvah didn't come from the
aveira. Okay, here it did. It's a direct result of the aveira. Direct result of putting
it's not like the lulav that you, as you steal the lulav, you take
it. It is! The eating the matzah is an act of putting his life in danger.
He doesn't say, I would like to die at all. He said, I will eat matzah, I will take my chance. If he'll say, I would like to die, give me this piece of matzah, no question about his suicidal, you know what it means. He never said, I would like to die. He said, I will take my chance and eat this piece. That's all what he said.
It's a good shayla. This mitzvah of aveira needs to be discussed. But have a look. Let's have a look at the way the Oinig Yom Tov presents the shayla. Number 8 on the sheets. Oinig Yom Tov Simen Men Aleph. Nista Pakti says, I have this long-standing sofik. B'chayla sheyesh boi sakona. A chayla who is in life-threatening situation. V'higia leil Pesach. Comes to the night of Pesach. V'zman achilas matzah. V'omru harayfim. The doctors tell him, she'im yoichal matzah. If he eats matzah, he's stuck in. Very, very dangerous. V'hu meirayid chavivas ha-mitzvah, because he's so excited to do the mitzvah. Lo yishom alakolam, doesn't listen to them. V'ochal kazayis matzah. Ulosho oishtayim nisrape v'sor ha-choylim e'olov. And an hour or two later, not only does he survive the ordeal, he actually recovers. Ad sha'omru, so much so that the doctors now tell him, shirasho yilechol kazayis matzah. In fact, if you want to eat now, you can. Does he have to? I yotzo b'ma she'ochal b'eis shehoya mesukan. Oy dilma no. Kiven shehoya potter oz mi le'achol. maybe seeing as he was exempt, therefore lo yotzer boy, he's not yotzer. And he has a whole 3 or 4 page discussion, which is a very general shaila, very, very important shaila. Whenever somebody does a mitzvah not under obligation, at least because it was dangerous, does it mean b'dieved he has the mitzvah or he doesn't? And his main maramokim in the whole long tshuva is our Rashi. Our Rashi, what was the story in our Rashi? It was life threatening to do bris milah to the third child. And Rashi says that you're considered a machal Shabbos because you did milah shalei bizman. So any Yom Tov understands in Rashi, and we're going to say soon that it's not the mashmaos of Rashi. Any Yom Tov says, you see in Rashi that this person is considered to have been machalal Shabbos. What are you doing, doing milah on this child on Shabbos? You're a machalal Shabbos. Says Any Yom Tov, why is he machalal Shabbos? The child survived the ordeal. The child's okay now. So it's true, he didn't have to. In fact, he shouldn't have done milah. But now that he's done it, retroactively, why is he machalal Shabbos? The child survived. He has the mitzvah of milah. And Yom Tov says, you see from over here, if you do a mitzvah under the situation of Pekuach Nefesh, nothing doing. You're a Mechalal Shabbos. If you did it on Shabbos, you're not Yetzer the mitzvah. The Lashon of Rashi is very doichik. He himself tries to fit it in words with the Rashi, because we would have said, if we would read Rashi, I think we would all agree, if anything, Rashi is mashma the other way around, that he's Yetzer the mitzvah of Milah. But what? You're a Mechalal Shabbos because it's a Milah Shalei Bizmano, which we said we have to define in a minute. Why is it a Milah Shalei Bizmano? But the understanding, the simple understanding of Rashi, as we'll see soon, many Achreim learn this way in Rashi. Rashi did not say that you know why you're Mechalal Shabbos? Because you did nothing. You wasted your time. You did something which wasn't a mitzvah at all. Rashi never said that. It's mashma from Rashi, what you did was a mitzvah. Maybe you didn't need to do it. Maybe you shouldn't have done it. But you did it, it was a mitzvah. At worst, Rashi says, yeah, but there's a problem of milah shaloi bizmano. What happens if somebody does a bris milah on day 10? He didn't do bris milah on day 8 for whatever reason. Day 8 he was unhealthy. Came to day 10. Does he do bris milah on Shabbos?
No.
Chas v'shalom doesn't do it. What was it he did? It's a bris milah. Without getting involved in Avraham's shailas of mitzvah of aveira, that's a separate discussion. But has he done mitzvah bris milah? Definitely yes. But what? He was also machal Shabbos at the same time. Machal Shabbos, because what you're doing bris on the wrong time on Shabbos for?
Rav, you need to define for us following thing. We know that when you have a mitzvah had description. Stay there, wave there, do this, do that. Is it one of the attribute mitzvah time? In other case, if I will take broken lulav, it's not. But if I will try to do even with good lulav in wrong time, it's also nothing. So right now, every mitzvah have time and description.
No. Right.
Let me finish. Right now.
So he did this on day.
Right now. Doing bris on Shabbos, it's an exception of Torah. If we will forget about this exception, let's assume that it's no exception. That everybody who will do milah on Shabbos, maybe because of description of this mitzvah, wrong time it's not mitzvah at all.
This is what I tried to say. No, but I'll tell you the difference. Yeah. The difference is, if you do lulav on... If I shake lulav today, why am I not makam mitzvah? Because not sukkos. So, halachas of lulav dictates you don't shake lulav today. With regard to bris milah doesn't dictate that you don't do it on Shabbos. As far as bris milah is concerned, bris milah said, if I would forget about Shabbos, today's the right time for bris milah. Ah, there's a new aveira! I forgot about the aveira called, you mustn't be mitzi dam on Shabbos. So I have a technical restriction called Shabbos, albeit it's Shabbos. So Shabbos doesn't allow me to do bris milah today, but it's not bris and bris milah. Nobody will tell you, what are you doing bris milah today? Today's not the right time. No, the correct terminology will be, today is the right time, because it's a day 8 baby. But I'm sorry, I don't let you do it, because it's Shabbos, it's an Aveira. But I thought you were allowed to do bris milah on Shabbos. No, only on day 8. If it's not day 8, you cannot do Bris Milah on Shabbos. Fine. So if we read Rashi, and this is really how we started, when we read Rashi and we saw that Rashi says Mila Shalai Bezmano,
I think you mean light of Mila Shalai Bezmano.
Right.
In other words, not that it is Shalai Bezmano.
Right, 1 second. So even if you're right, it means it's like a Mila Shalai Bezmano. Fine. So, bottom line, is he Yotze the mitzvah of Mila, or is not Yotze? He is! So then Rabbi Yosef and I are in agreement, and you're in disagreement with Oneg Yom Tov. And I agree with you. The Oneg Yom Tov seems to have understood in this Rashi that this mother, who went ahead and did Bris Mila when the child was in life danger, is not Yotze the mitzvah. And from that, the Oneg Yom Tov wants to be pushed to his Sofek, therefore, if he had matzah on Seder night and it was dangerous, he's not Yotze the mitzvah. I would have said, and we'll soon see, we're in good company, many Achrayim learn, that's not true, that's not what it says in Rashi. Rashi never said, you're a Mechalol Shabbos because you did nothing at all. You wasted your time. Rashi doesn't say it. Rashi says, it's a technical problem of Mila Shalai Bezmano. Mashma, the mitzvah Mila you have. I'm not criticizing you for being a Mechalol Shabbos because you did nothing. You didn't do any mitzvah at all. It doesn't say that. It's mashma, you did a mitzvah. Yes, you didn't need to. In fact, yes, you shouldn't have. It was dangerous. But now that you did it, you have a mitzvah in your back pocket. So why are you called a Mechalol Shabbos? Because you're a Mila Shalai Bezmano. It's true, we still need to define it. Why is it Shalai Bezmano? Today's day 8. Fine, we're going to explain it in a minute. But one thing seems certain in Rashi, that if you do a Bris Mila, whilst it's dangerous, on Shabbos, it's true you didn't need to. And it's true that in fact you shouldn't have, and it was osser to put the kid's life in danger. But now that you did it, you Makai Mitzvah Mila. So if we're back to square one, what did Rashi mean that it's a Mila Shalai Bezman? What does it mean Shalai Bezman? It's not the Zman. Well, what's Zman? This child's exempt from Mila. So to that we get to a very big Chiddush in the Rambam, Rabbi Yosef, you were Ramas to before. We are all, I think, accustomed to the notion that Mesu Ochiv Machmas Mila. What does it mean, Mesu Ochiv Machmas Mila? The children, the brothers died as a result, whether it's two brothers or three brothers, the third one is exempt, or the fourth one is exempt. So, let's begin with a Machloikus Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. A huge Machloikus in Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. One of the halachas of an oral, somebody who's non-circumcised, is that he can't eat Korban Pesach, Truma, Kodshim. So it's a Mishnah. The first Mishnah, the seventh parak of Yevamos, says, oral, osa lechol b'truma. Fine? Innocuous looking statement. We know that. An oral can't eat truma. Says Rashi, do you know which oral we're talking about? Not only an oral who decides he doesn't want to do Mila, even an oral shemesu ochiv machmas Mila. His brothers have died, whether it's two or three, he's perfectly exempt from Mila. Sorry, but you're an oral nonetheless. You can't eat Truma. Place us there, brings Rabbeinu Tam, says, what are you talking about? Oral means somebody who willingly refuses to do Bris Mila despite being instructed. But this poor fellow whose whole family have died as a result of Mila, he's not obligated to do Bris Mila. Not only is he not obligated, he's not even allowed to do Bris Mila. So how can you call him an oral? What do you mean oral? He's not an oral. Oral means you refuse to do Mitzvah Mila. This fellow doesn't have a Mitzvah Mila. Say that. Massive Machloikas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. The Asvan Da'irai, Sir of Yosef Engel, has a whole long shtickel Torah to try and explain this Machloikas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, which I'll just mention briefly because it's on the sheets. And this Meirav Raboisai is really important to remember. Everybody here knows the crucial word oinus. Oinus. Somebody can be exempt from a mitzvah because it's an oinus. What does oinus mean? Circumstances beyond my control. Pikuach nefesh, life-threatening danger, is a classic example. If somebody would be on a desert island and he hasn't got tefillin, so what should he do? He's an oinus. Nothing he can do about it. Doesn't have a lulav. What should he do? Will he get punished for not doing lulav? Obviously not. What should he have done? Says the Asvan Deraisa, What does that mean? What does that mean when we say somebody's an oinus? Does it mean that the Torah looks at this fellow and says, ah, you? You're in pekuach nefesh? Okay, lulav doesn't apply to you. Tefillin doesn't apply to you. Kosher doesn't apply to you. Shabbos doesn't apply. Is that what it means? That if somebody's an oinus, he's just not in the parsha at all? Or, Rabbi Yosef Engel says, maybe it doesn't mean that. Maybe it means Shabbos does apply to you. You are essentially mechuyev in Shabbos. You're just not obligated to be mekayim your chiyuv. You're not mechuyev to fulfill your obligation, but you're obligated. You're obligated. Now you're all looking at me thinking, what's the difference? What does that mean? What's the difference if you're not obligated, or you are obligated, you're just not mechuyev to mekayim the obligation? I mean, same thing, isn't it? You don't have to do lulav. Says the Asman Derais, that's the machloikas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam over here. This fellow whose brothers have died as a result of the Mila, can he do Mila? Certainly not. Is he an oinus? Absolutely. Does he have to do bris? No. What does that mean, he doesn't have to do bris? Does it mean he's got no obligation whatsoever to do bris Mila? Mitzvah's Mila is simply not talking to him. Well, no. Mitzvah's Mila is talking to him. But he has a get out for free sticker. Sorry. I know I'm obligated, but I can't be Makai my obligation. It's dangerous. It says Yasin Deraisa. That's Machlokes Rashi Rabbeinu. Rashi holds that it's true he's an oinus. Chas v'shalom, he's not mechuyev to do Mila. It's even usur for him to do Mila. But you know something? He's obligated. He's in the parsha. Oh, he's an oral. He can't eat truma. Rabbeinu Tam says, what are you talking about? If it's pekuach nefesh, if it's dangerous for him to do bris mila, then he's not in the parsha at all. When the Torah said you've got to do bris mila, they weren't talking to him. Bris mila, I don't even know what the word means, says this fellow. Oh, so he's not an oral. That's how the Asman Deraisa learns the machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. But there are problems with it. We don't have time to get into it now. There is another way, and I saw this last night. I won't tell you what time. In the Sefer Derech Emuna, the Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita has on Seder Zroim, by the way, this year, Mitz Hashem, it should be emerging another volume. You know how Reb Chaim Kanievsky works. Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita has a 12-month cycle in which he finishes Kol HaTorah Kula. Every 12 months, he finishes Shas Bavli, Yerushalmi, Medrash Rabba, Medrash Tanchuma, Sifri, Sifra, Mechilta, everything you can think of. So when it comes to a leap year like this year, he's bored during Ador Sheni. He has nothing to do. So I'm not joking. Every year Ador Sheni, he prints a sefer. So Mitz Hashem, you should have Arichas Yomim Veshonim. That we should have many, many more leap years. So we'll get more and more volumes. So the Reb Chaim Kanievsky has a whole set of svarim called Derech Emuna, which is a pirish on the Rambam of all the Rambam in Hilchos Zroim. Trumas Maestros Maestros Sheni. He finished that. So last leap year, he's embarked on a new project, and it looks like the Mishnah Berurah. It's got the top of the page, instead of the Shulchan Aruch, it's the Rambam, Mishnah Berurah, Bihalacha, Shati, and everything. So he embarked on a new project last leap year, Derech Chochma, which is a pirish on the Rambam, Hilchos Karbonis. So, Mitz Hashem, Huzeich Tarichas Yomim. So in one of his volumes on Trumas, he suggests the following. He doesn't even bring the Asan Deraisa. He suggests the Machlokes Rashi Tosfos is as follows, and here, Moirav Rabbeisai, we get to Chiddush of the day. Chiddush of the day, Rabbi Yosef, here you hit the Rambam. I was always under the impression somebody whose brothers died as a result of Mila is exempt. What does that mean, exempt? It means exempt. Doesn't have to do Bris Mila. And suddenly we look in the Rambam, and the Rambam doesn't say that. Have a look at the Rambam, it's number 6 on the sheets. The bottom of it. Halacha Yud Ches. Rambam Hilchas Mila. Aleph Yud Ches. Isha Shemola B'na Rishin. A woman who did Bris Mila to the first son. Umeis Machmas Amila. Died as a result of the Mila. Shech Shilo Es Koicho Yit. Knocked him out. V'chein Mola Hasheni Umeis. Then she did Bris Mila to the second son. Second son died. Machmas Amila. Bein mi baal zeh, bein mi baal aches, says the Rambam. Harezu loy somol es hashlishi. Now we would have wanted a Rambam to put a big black full stop there. don't do bris milah to the third one, period. Doesn't say that. Hari zuloi somol esashlishi bizmanoi elom mamtinin lo. You wait ad sheyigdal ma'at, until he grows a bit, v'yischazik koichoi, and he'll be a bit stronger. It's a good thing you're all sitting down. Otherwise, you would have been all on the floor. Unbelievable chiddush. The Noida Behuda says, I can't understand for the life of me, where does the Rambam get this from? The Gemara says, the Shlishi is Potter. What does it mean, Potter? L'chayr means forever. The Rambam says, no! It's not Potter forever. It means don't do Bris Milah on day 8. Apparently, this family find it dangerous to do Bris Milah on day 8. But afterwards, when he's grown a bit, and you see that he's become stronger, you jolly well do Bris Milah. The Noida Behuda says, I cannot understand. I searched the whole of Shas to look for a Makor for the Rambam. He says, I couldn't find one. And other Rishonim, he says, certainly seem to imply Kipshutei that he's exempt forever. The Rif and the Rosh says, the Noida Behuda say he's exempt forever. That's how we always understood. And suddenly we hit a Rambam. The Rambam says, no, he's only exempt today on day 8. But when he gets older and he gets stronger, you do Bris Milah. Unbelievable chiddush.
But the logic's more with the Rambam, because we see that these two babies in Malenu died because they were 8 years old.
Oh, that's the question.
Fine. That's what happened. You can't say that they would have died if they were older.
We don't know. You're right. That might be the logic. Chaz, where did the Rambam get that from? Fine.
We don't necessarily know. The first two babies were mild and they may have been pushed off.
No, you're right. We're talking about, that's Chasam Seif and others to talk about. We're talking about with the children were 8 days. If they were Gedolim, and they had Bris Milah and they died, then you wouldn't do the third one forever, even according to the Rambam.
I'm wondering if the child on the basis of Bris Milah is not hemophilia or something like this, the blood will stop. So I'm wondering where he gets the control, because hemophilic does get better over the years. From a medical perspective, when a child does, I guess it's...
I don't know. I'm not a doctor, the Rambam was. I'm taking his word for it. Are you a doctor?
No.
I don't know. We have a doctor in the house. But I'll call upon him. I don't know, Rambam was a doctor. Even without that, I don't know, Azayish Shaitin Rambam. That's my answer. Azayish Shaitin Rambam. So the Noida Behuda, as we said, sees this Rambam. No, don't walk out. I mean, it's a good question. So the Rambam is telling us an unbelievable chiddush, that somebody whose brother's died as a result of the meal is not exempt forever. He's exempt now, but he's mechuyev later on. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky. So we have a machlekas, but listen to how beautifully these Rashi's are going to go together now. So we have a machlekas, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Somebody whose brothers died as a result of milah, can he eat truma? He's exempt from bris milah, no question about it. Rashi says, sorry, you can't eat truma. Rabbeinu Tam says, of course you can, he's got no mitzvah. Says Reb Chaim, you know what the machlekas is? Rabbeinu Tam held that somebody whose brothers died as a result of milah is exempt forever. If you're exempt forever, you're not in the pasha of bris milah. There's a new shaychas to bris milah. He's not an oral. He'll never have the mitzvah of milah, so he can eat truma. He suggests that Rashi holds like the Rambam. Rashi holds like the Rambam that it's only a temporary exemption, but you can't say he's not in the pasha of bris milah. He's in the pasha. At the moment, he can't technically do it because it's dangerous, fine, so wait a bit, a year, 2 years, however long it takes. But he's in the pasha of Bris Milah, so he's jolly well an oral. Azay Shteyter Rucham Kanievsky, not like the Asman De Reiser, that it's a machlekas how to look at the Ptur Oinas. No, forget that. It's a machlekas in the din of Mesu Achim Machmas Milah. Rabbeinu Tam holds that the Rif and the Rosh and the conventional understanding is exempt forever. If he's exempt forever, then he's not an oral. How can you call somebody an oral if he's got no mitzvah?
He's
no
mitzvah, a woman.
Yeah, he's got no mitzvah like a woman. Whereas Rashi holds out the Rambam. If Rashi holds out the Rambam, then it's only a temporary respite. But he's in the pasha, so he's not like a woman. Not like a woman. He's somebody who's like, he's ill at the moment, but he's going to come healthy soon. So he's an oral. He can't eat truma. If that's the case, we get back to our Rashi now. In Yevamos Daf Samach Dalad, and Rashi is Haflav Ofele. Rashi was talking about somebody whose brother has died as a result of Milah. So you're not mechuyev to do the next one. Two, three, whatever it is, when it comes to that brother, you don't do Bris Milah. says Rashi, I wonder if you did, and that was the story there. He told them to do it on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Says Rashi, well, firstly, you put the boy's life in danger. That's number one. And secondly, you're a Mechalal Shabbos. Why? Rashi didn't say because you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah of Mila. You were Mekayim the Mitzvah of Mila. It's Mila Shaloi Bizmano. The two Rashis go hand in hand. What does it mean in Shaloi Bizmano? Yeah, wait a bit and you'll have a Zman. Rabbeinu Tam could never have learned like Rashi. According to Rabbeinu Tam, if you would ask Rabbeinu Tam, Halacha Lemaisa, the first two brothers died as a result of the Mila, and the third one is now exempt. They went and did Bris Mila. They weren't Mechuyev to, but they did it. Does he get a mitzvah? You know what Rabbeinu Tam will say? Absolutely not. Do you know why absolutely not? Because the third one was exempt forever. Like you said a bit, it's like an Isha. He wasn't in the Parsha. So what's he busy doing Bris Mila for? He was never, ever, ever going to be Mechuyev. And if he was never going to be Mechuyev, he's simply not in the Parsha. So what's he doing Bris Mila? So if he did Bris Mila, not only is he not Mekayim Mitzvah, but if he did it on Shabbos, he's Mechalal Shabbos as well. It's a Deraisa. What are you doing on Shabbos? Mila? This is not Mila. But Rashi L'Shitosa is half-level fella. Rashi holds like the Rambam, that somebody whose brothers died as a result of the Mila is not out of the Parsha. It's a temporary respite. Not like an Isha, as you said, Rabbi Yosef. He's not an Isha. Completely disappeared from the Parsha of Bris Mila. He's very much in the Parsha of Bris Mila. You can't do it now. Okay, so wait. Till when? Till you're healthy. So Rashi says, therefore, if you did the Bris Mila, it's true you didn't need to. And it's true, in fact, you shouldn't have. But now that you've done it, you've got a mitzvah. Because you're always in the Parsha. Well, like Rabbeinu Tam says, you disappeared. You were always in the Parsha. Ah! So one moment, if I was in the Parsha, surely this is Mila Bizmano. This is the eighth day. This is Rashi, no, it wasn't the Zman. Because the Rambam says that when will be the Zman? When the child gets healthy. That's what Rashi means, Mila Shalei Bizmano. And it's a shame because I only found this after I put out the sheets, but one of the Gedolei Achreinim is called the Yashreish Yaakov. One of the Mefroshim, Oni Yevomus there, says this whole Shtickel Torah in two lines. The whole Shtickel Torah that we've said for 45 minutes is in two lines. He brings Rashi, he says, Tzorech in Godel, what does Rashi mean? Mila Shalei Bizmano? He says, V'yesh Loimah, Sherashi Shesvir Leka HaRambam, that somebody whose brothers died as a result of the Mila will be Mechuyev, and that's why you are Mekayim the Mitzvah of Mila. It's just not Bizmano. It's not Bizmano, it's your Mechal of Shabbos. So we have a beautiful Pshat, I think, in Rashi, and according to Reb Chaim Kanievsky in Derech Emunah, it's not just any old suggestion in Rashi, it's Rashi L'Shitosei. This is Rashi's opinion, as you see later on in Yevamos. That's why Rashi says he's an Oral. Oh, if he's an Oral, why is he an Oral? But he's not Mechuyev to do Mila. No, he's not Mechuyev now, but he's in the Parsha. If he's in the Parsha and he didn't miss Mila, but he ever, you have a mitzvah. So back to the Oinig Yom Tov Shaila. And Yom Tov looked at this Rashi, and the Oinig Yom Tov wondered if somebody ate matzah when it was Pikuach Nefesh to do so. So again, he didn't need to and he shouldn't have. But does he have a mitzvah? If I was looking at this Rashi, I would say, yeah, he does have a mitzvah. Pikuach Nefesh, if it's going to come back, somebody who's very ill because as a result of Bris Mila, as a result of illness, and is therefore exempt from the mitzvah of matzah, but it doesn't mean that he's out of the Parsha. As soon as he comes healthy, he'll be mechuyev once again. Therefore, we would suggest, lulei the Oinig Yom Tov, that if he ignored the doctor's orders, and he ate the matzah when he shouldn't have, now that he's become healthy, I'll say, it's okay, you don't need to eat again. You've done your mitzvah already. Why have you done your mitzvah? But you ate it when you were potter. Yes, it's true. But you ate it at a zman that I was in the Parsha! And that's what Rashi says. So to this child who did Bris Mila on day 8, he shouldn't have, because it was dangerous. But he was in the Parsha. Why was he in the Parsha? Because the Chiyuv is coming back soon. Except it's Mila Shalei Bizmano. Mila Shalei Bizmano. That's all it is. There's a lot more, really, on this Inyan, but let's just summarize what we saw today. We said that we all know the mitzvah of Mila in this Parsha, but it cannot be done if it's life-threatening. And a classic example of a life-threatening Mila is when the brothers died as a result of the Mila. Rashi there says a very peculiar Loshon, that when you did Bris Mila, and there you did it on Shabbos, not only did you put the child's life in danger, but it was Mechalal Shabbos because it was Mila Shalei Bizmano. And we said, what's that supposed to mean? Mila Shalei Bezmanon, Rashi should have said much more than that. It's Chilul Shabbos because you didn't do any mitzvah at all. Never mind Mila Shalei Bezmanon, it's just not even Bris Mila at all. So we brought the Ein Yom to Sofek with the matzah, but at the end of the day we're suggesting that we find that there's a Rambam who holds that even when the brothers died as a result of the Mila, the exemption is not permanent, it's a temporary thing. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky wants to suggest that's group of pshat in Rashi in Yevamos Daf Ayin. That's why that fellow is considered an oral. Can't eat truma. Why can't he eat truma? He's not mechuyav to do bris mila. Teretz says, yeah, he's only potter now, but he's in the pasha. In which case, Rashi is mamish beautifully l'shitasai. That so too over here, Rashi says that at worst, all it is a problem of Mila Shalei Bezmano. I cannot say that this child who went ahead and did the Bris Mila, despite being dangerous, did nothing at all. No, he didn't do nothing at all. You know what Rabbeinu Tam would tell us? Yes, he jolly well did nothing at all. He's out the Pasha, he's exempt forever. That's what Rabbeinu Tam would have told us. The Rif, the Rosh, but not Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi and the Rambam, who hold us only a temporary patur, this child is in the Pasha. He's not mechuyev to do it. He's not even allowed to do it because it's dangerous. But if he did it, he's yoytze the mitzvah. At worst, he's mechalal Shabbos because it's not yet the zman. It's mila shalei bezmanoi, which is exactly the words of Rashi.
How can it be? Knowing that he's done it and he didn't die, it's sort of to say, yeah, okay, but the other, it seemed like it was psychotic to do it now, but it's why it wasn't. So now it is okay to do it because he survived, and therefore he did okay. It wasn't a sakana.
He miraculously survived. Mila shalei bezmano means that this wasn't the zman to do the bris mila today, which is true with this child. It was not the zman to do bris mila today.
A person said that.
The two brothers died. The two brothers died. Therefore, he's exempt. Pekuach nefesh. Vaday pekuach nefesh.
Yeah, because we're going by the.
That's the principle of Chazaka. Yeah, Chazaka tells us twice. It's vaday pekuach nefesh. So, can you say today was the zman of Mila? Yeah. No. But you can't say that there's no Mila at all. Because according to Rashi, he's in the Pasha. Yeah. Which is not the correct.
At which age did the child become an oral? Because the
mitzvah
of Mila is on the father, not on the child.
So you're asking a good shayla. You're asking the Gemara shayla, such a good shayla, that the Gemara itself doesn't even resolve it. What happens to a child, every 5-day-old baby, is he allowed to eat truma? He hasn't done bris mila, but he's certainly not mechuyev yet. The Gemara shayla, the Yevamos of Ayin Beis, the Gemara doesn't resolve it. The Gemara is not sure. Is the situation of oral exist even before? And by the way, it's not nothing to do with Rashi. Even according to Rashi, we can still appreciate that it could be before Yom Kippur, not the Pasha yet.
The child becomes
an
oral on day 8. L'chayr you're right.
Why? Because before then?
No.
You just said the brisker off. Remember, we discussed this last year. Avraham Avinu kept Kol HaTorah Kula. If he kept Kol HaTorah Kula without being instructed, why did he have to be instructed to do bris mila? Why didn't he do that without instruction? So Bris Karov says a goinus. All other mitzvahs, you can shake it all off even though you're not instructed. Bris mila, what does it mean bris mila? Get rid of your arrows. As long as there's no instruction to do it, you're not an oral. So you can't do bris without the instruction. Like Yom Ches. Sorry to do bris mila before Yom Ches, you haven't done anything because there's no mitzvah. So the Briskerov says, as long as Avraham Avinu wasn't instructed, then you can't say, oh, I'll do it anyway. You're not doing bris mila, there's nothing, you're not an oral.
There's no bris takes two parties at least.
Oh, that's the Briskerov. Second Teretz.
Yeah, but the father can't do the bris, why should he be allowed to eat from
him? In which case?
The father.
No, the father could have eaten from the child.
I know, but if he can't, he wasn't the kind of mitzvah. So why can he, eat from him?
If he's not
eating
no, the father can definitely truma. He's not an oral. He's got a mitzvah to worry about the child's mila. Now, can the child eat truma? Before Yom Ches, that's Rosh Hashanah, Gemara Shem.
I think your fascinating story from Rabbi Zilberstein.